Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. This has been an exciting week because I've been stirred in my heart about the scripture the Lord is having me share with you, and that is found in Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. The Amplified says, nothing shall offend or make them stumble. Now, we shared on previous broadcasts that experiencing feelings or emotions is not a sin. It's what we do with them. James 1, 14 and 15, where it talks about a person is tempted when he's drawn away or enticed by his own evil desires, lusts, or passion. There's a progression that goes on there. And the fact is that our human emotions, anger, sorrow, that's not a sin, but it's what we do with them. If we do not react in a godly way with our emotions, in other words, our emotions, the whole gamut of emotions that the human can experience, and I'm speaking not just positive emotions, but negative emotions, disdain, contempt, disgust, anger, which is rightfully directed toward the things of evil, the things that oppose God. We have a right to be angry at the wickedness and the transgression of the evil. Look what Jesus did. It took the time to plait a whip, and then when he went into the temple at the beginning of the ministry and of his ministry and at the end, twice he drove out the money changers. He was furious. He overturned the tables and he said, you've made my father's house not only a den of thieves, but a house of merchandise. He was not happy. And you see, yet he was without sin. So our emotions, there's nothing wrong with them, but we must experience our emotions, especially the negative ones, and handle them in a godly way. And so, this marvelous passage of scripture, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. What does that mean? Well, offend, of course, I've been sharing the definition. It means to cause difficulty, discomfort, injury, dislike, anger, or vexation, to violate, to transgress, to cause pain, hurt, to cause to sin or fall, to cause hurt feelings or resentment. Surely Jesus was hurt. He was offended by the things that people did and said to him. In the 8th chapter of John, the 49th verse, the Jews said, you've got a devil. You're a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my father, and you dishonor me. So he was very aware. I mean, he was not unfeeling. Of course he wasn't. He had human feelings, but he did not sin. And so, beloved, there is a way that we can control, manage our emotions, because that's a valid part of our makeup. That's an important part of our soul nature. But nothing need offend us, to cause us to sin or fall. You see, there's many meanings to that word offend. To cause difficulty, discomfort, injury, there's no sin in that. But if we allow it to cause hateful feelings within our heart, if we harbor ill will, then we're moving over into sin and resentment and bitterness. You see, that's where we have to draw the line, and we say, we will not go there. Now, the wonderful thing about this word is when it says nothing shall offend them, it means just that, nothing. We take the word of God literally, praise the Lord. And that means that nothing in our present experience, nothing in the past, we can let the blood of Jesus cover everything that hurt and offended us in the past, as well as it's a protection for our future. We can be free from offense. Matthew 13, 21, Jesus was quoting the parable about the word of God being a seed. And remember, in one of those instances, he talked about the seed in stony places. That's a heart that's been hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, because Jeremiah spoke that he wants to give us a heart of flesh. But that seed that fell in stony places is a person that continues for a while. But now I'm quoting, "For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." And then in 1 Peter 2:8, we know Jesus is the chief cornerstone of this tabernacle, not built with hands, the body of Christ, the church. And Peter refers to him as a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. Jesus is the rock of ages. And the word says, if that rock falls on you, you will be crushed to smithereens. But if you fall on the rock, look at the difference there. If you willfully allow judge yourself, if you allow yourself to be broken on the rock, then you're going to be happy. You're going to grow in the knowledge of the Lord. So let's look at this word, "nothing shall offend them." Isaiah 57:14 says, "But he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land, and shall inherit my holy mountain, and shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way. Take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people." In other words, the stumbling block of ignorance, the stumbling block of sin. And that's why I'm on this broadcast, to bring the Word of God into illumination, to preach the Word, teach the Word, and let the Holy Spirit illumine that Word to your heart, that you can apply it in a practical way to your own life. Nothing shall offend them. Think of that. What does this mean to those who love His law? That's the condition. Now, you won't be offended if you love the law of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? "Great peace have they which love thy law." Well, the law is the way of the Lord, God's principles, the commandments of the Lord. You know, we understand readily that there are physical laws that govern the universe. God has set physical laws in motion. I think one of the ones we are most familiar with from the time of being a toddler is the law of gravity. If, you know, the law of gravity is continually in effect, and, you know, you hold a book up and you let go of it, it's going to fall to the ground. Isn't that right? If your legs give out from under you, then you're falling to the ground. That's the law of gravity. But just as there are physical, natural laws that science is discovering that govern the universe, so in the unseen world, the world of the spirit, guess what? There's laws there. There are various laws, like the law of sowing and reaping. As a man sows, he will reap. You cannot get away from that law. In other words, our actions, our attitudes are going to have consequences. And God has a plan. He's got principles for living that are good for a man, that are right for a man. If we'll follow those spiritual laws, guess what? We're going to be blessed. We'll be happy. We'll be joyful. We'll be fulfilled. And if we transgress those laws, even in ignorance, we're going to pay the consequences. Now, does God want that? No. That's why we're to study to show ourselves approved. Those that will meditate, that's what God said to Joshua, upon the testimony, the laws of the Lord day and night, that man shall prosper and have good success. It's really just that simple. So, our most important thing is we need the law of the Lord. And we need to think about it, study it, know it. The law of the Lord is the saint's delight. Let me share with you what Paul said in Romans 7:22. "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." Can you say that today, brother and sister, that you delight in the law? And Psalm 119:77 says, "Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight." You see, the psalmist is saying, let me experience your tender mercy. Your mercies, your grace is what gives me life, abundant life, because, Lord, I am doing what your word says. Your law is my delight. Great peace have they that love thy law, nothing shall offend them. And in doing so, it's not just, you know, a bunch of commandments that we're observing, but the Lord and His law are one. And in loving His word, we love the giver of that word. We love the lawgiver. We love He who loves us so much that He's not left us to walk, you know, in our own way, but He's shown us, He's given us those things that pertain to life, to godliness. And there is a blessedness in keeping His law. Let me share some scriptures with you. Psalm 119 and 1 says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the way of the Lord." Doesn't that make you think of Psalm 1? "Blessed is the man that standeth not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he delight and meditate day and night. He shall be as a tree planted by living waters, who bringeth forth his fruit in his season." Praise God. This is an example of those who will heed the law of the Lord. Now, Matthew 5 and 19 is an important scripture I'd like to share with you. And what does the word say there? "Blessed are they that," "whosoever shall do and teach them the commandments shall be called great in the kingdom of God." That's significant. Whosoever, note the order there. There is an actual progression. In order to be called great, it's not just a matter of teaching them, but it's a matter of doing them. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus said when he was alive. He said, you know, as the Pharisees teach, do what they teach, but don't do as they do, because they were hypocrites. They said one thing and did another. Amen. Praise God. And the final scripture I'd like to share with you today is Revelation 22:14. "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." Praise God, that wonderful new Jerusalem. So let's not be deceived. If we hear the word, if you just say, well, you know, if you reject the word even that you've heard today through me and through others, you're deceiving yourselves. But blessed are they that do his commandments. Praise God. Well, my time is gone. I must bring this broadcast to a close. And there's some of you, you've listened for a time and God is just moving on your heart to write and you just haven't done it. Take a moment and jot down that mailing address or send an email through the website. And as you pursue that nudging of the Holy Spirit, I know you'll be blessed. God has a reason for it. I love you, dear partners, spiritual family. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.